You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today, we begin a six-week series with the New Zealand Drug Foundation about the current affairs of drugs in Aotearoa. I have a chat with Sarah Helm, the Executive Director of the Drug Foundation, and this week we focus on MDMA, commonly known as Molly. Molly has been quite popular in the party scene for quite some time. However, due to a recent decline in availability, especially over the summer period, it's seen other substances enter the black market being sold as MDMA. I begin by asking Sarah to elaborate on some of these other substances.
They have ended up taking either cathinones that have been substituted for MDMA, so they've thought that they're purchasing MDMA, which is sometimes called Molly or ecstasy, and it's turned out to be either a mixture of MDMA and these things called cathinones, or it's been swapped out for that, which is one of the perils of purchasing things on the black market, as you don't know what you're purchasing. Yeah.
So obviously they have very different effects than the MDMA that people are probably used to and know how it works.
Yeah, funnily, they actually have a similar effect for the first short period of time, which is what's kind of deceptive about them. And so we really, because there has been such a large percentage, so over the summer it was more than half of MDMA has been either a mix or a substitute for cathinones, and just at the Splore Festival last weekend, I understand it was more like 25%, but nonetheless, that's a pretty high chance that the Molly you might think that you've got in your pocket turns out to be something quite different. So the first feelings in the first half hour or so of taking these synthetic substances feels a little bit like MDMA, so you get that same sort of euphoric feeling, but after a period of time, firstly it starts to wear off, so you might think you need to take more, so people dose up, and then the effects are quite a negative experience, so especially if you've taken too much of it, so you might start feeling agitated, angry, anxious, pain, depression, sort of highly emotional, paranoid or sweaty, but if it's even if you've taken even more, or you've had a particularly bad dose, you might start having hallucinations, a fast heartbeat, really agitated, panic attacks, bad breathing, or thoughts about hurting yourself, or loss of body movement, psychosis and seizures. So at that sort of lower level, if you have ended up taking the substance, we're recommending, you know, just be with a friend, chill out, lay down, get away from things, and just relax. But if you are starting to have those more severe circumstances, then we recommend getting some medical attention.
Then you have the importance of organisations such as Know Your Drugs coming through quite a lot, because when you've got more and more products circulating on a market that aren't what they say they are, as a consumer it's pretty important to be aware of what is out there.
Yeah, so MDMA carries some risks, which would be good to cover off, but it is one of probably the lower risk substances, and that one of the worst things about it is you don't actually know what you're purchasing. And so know your stuff, and sometimes in conjunction with us, so we run some drug checking services in our offices alongside Know Your Stuff, and Know Your Stuff run drug checking at festivals and events. Have been an incredibly important service. We together have been doing that before it was legal, actually, before this last summer, but people have got increased awareness that that's available. Yeah, so it's really important to know that you can't tell the difference between MDMA and bath salts or cathinones by just looking at it, so getting it checked is the only way to know. And so basically, Know Your Stuff run them at festivals. Essentially, there's a marked tent usually at these events, or we run them, for example, in the Wellington office, and you just come up in the elevator, and you could be visiting any office there. So there's a little bit of anonymity offered, I guess, because of where it is. And it's perfectly legal to get your substance checked, so there's no negative ramifications. You won't be judged and nothing will be confiscated, so that's important for people to know. You might get some harm reduction advice, so here's what you have, here's what we advise you do. If it turns out not to be the thing that you thought it was, we might, you know, encourage you not to take the substance, but that decision's ultimately up to you. And you might get some other tips around what you should and shouldn't do with that substance, but that's all. And it's actually pretty hard to get that advice, so it's probably quite helpful for you. And the testing, so testing's really helpful for both you as a user, but also the wider community. We use that information at that very macro level, not the individual level, to know what's out there, so we can advise users more generally. So, for example, I've just given you those stats on the Spore Festival. And so we put the substance through two tests. So there's a test that's a little bit like the ones you can buy at Cosmic Corner, which I'll tell you a bit about. And then the other one's with this very fancy machine called a spectrometer. And it shines light through the substance, and the resulting image is very precisely matched to what the substance is. So we're able to tell you what it is. And if we do find something really, really surprising, we send it off to ESR. That sample off to ESR so that we can verify, so that again we can warn other people about it. Now, I've just mentioned that you can actually get tests yourself. They're not as reliable, but they are still better than doing nothing. And I would recommend that you buy two tests. So there's one test that you can test for the presence of MDMA. It tells you that whether or not you've got MDMA in the thing that you've purchased, but it doesn't tell you if it's mixed with something else. And you can buy a second test that tests for the cathinones, the bath salts. So if you bought two, you'd be fairly safe around what the substance is. Obviously not guaranteed, but fairly safe.
Now, do you guys at the Drug Foundation have any sort of projections on how the MDMA market could look throughout the year?
No, we don't. We just keep an eye on these things and inform you as much as we can. And we're trying to actually increase information out to drug users. So one of the harm reductions, we take a harm reduction health-based approach to drug use rather than a sort of judgy approach. But although no drug use is the safest, I should say that. But we want to increase our communication out to people who might be using substances so that you have better information available to you about what might be happening, so that you can take proper precautions and reduce risk to yourself and your mates.
Now, I'd like to touch on just approaches to substance use in this country, because obviously it's been in the hands of the police, essentially. And so recently something's come up about the New Zealand police working in conjunction with the US DEA.
We have this drug policy in the country, actually, that supports three pillars to drug harm reduction. So it's sort of supply control, so trying to clamp down on supply, trying to reduce the harms or problems, and trying to reduce demand. But actually what's in effect happened is the focus has all been on supply control, so trying to clamp down on suppliers. And it's been a very justice heavy. So our 1975, which is 45-year-old piece of legislation which governs our drug laws in New Zealand, you know, to my mind, quite outdated, and was written before a lot of these things even existed. And it's also coming from a very sort of punitive approach to drug use. So if we just convict people, it will dissuade them. Now, decades now have proven that approach doesn't work, and convictions do absolutely nothing to deter use, is what the evidence shows. And then then very recently, so not to overly link the thing, but the United States announced in 2019 that the Drug Enforcement Agency that they have would not only be cooperating with us, which they have done over the years anyway, but that they were going to set up a presence in New Zealand. And that presence first started to arrive in November last year. And they are setting up office at the moment and bringing a few more people over. And we were a little bit surprised to hear that that was still happening, I guess, because twofold. Firstly, the US itself at the moment has sort of admitted that the war on drugs approach that they've been championing and leading around the world for decades now has been an outstanding failure. And so if they're starting to sort of dismantle their war machine, if you like, and take a different approach, why would we be importing it here? But secondly, we actually have our own homegrown solution. So the reason that they're coming over is to get on top of supply chains from cartels that are of interest to them, of methamphetamine specifically. Now, we do have a small but very problematic methamphetamine problem in New Zealand, but we have a really fantastic homegrown solution called Te Ara Oranga, and it's a northern program that the police have led in conjunction with health that's taking a very different approach to methamphetamine, and it's showing some signs of success. And we have been waiting and calling for that program to be properly funded and to be rolled out around the country. And so we really think that that's the best response to our methamphetamine problem. It sort of tries to take all three pillars of that drug policy and put them into place. We really want to see that happen, as opposed to the DEA having a hand in how we run things domestically.
Now, I'm just thinking if there's anything else we would like to cover.
Yeah, well, actually, I think what might be helpful is the a little bit of advice around MDMA itself and using it. So we would obviously recommend no use is best, but MDMA is a substance, if you're going to use it, basically, you know, with any substance, ideally you've got a sober mate with you, especially as I've just talked about, if it turns out to be a bad trip or you've taken way too much, then you might have some unintended consequences. Same deal, don't mix your substances. But also, more specifically to MDMA, if you're on antidepressants or anti-anxiety medications, MDMA has a very specific impact of increasing the release of serotonin and dopamine in your brain, and it messes with that same part of your brain if you're on antidepressants or anti-anxiety meds, so you should probably avoid taking that altogether. We also recommend avoiding snorting, particularly if it's a pill that's been crushed. So those pills often have mixes in them that have other things, and they're not good for your nose, so avoid snorting. And don't take it too often, so monthly or less is going to have an impact on that serotonin, and you end up needing to take more and more to get the same buzz, and you potentially have some unintended consequences. And some of those can be pretty unpleasant, like high fevers, psychosis, panic attacks, etc. So balancing out your use of that substance. And then the one other risk that's talked about quite a lot actually is water. So you can basically hyperhydrate or underhydrate. So make sure you've got a quantity of water available to you that you just keep an eye on, and just stick to that amount during your night. And you asked me about stigma as well, so we could talk about that if you like.
Yeah, because obviously the kind of public perception around MDMA as it stands is fairly commonly used party drug. And when you have sort of other substances that are now being sold as MDMA, they end up falling under that same sort of stigma that MDMA currently has. Do you think public perception around MDMA as it is in New Zealand is almost like could be dangerous?
Well, my hunch is actually the wider public, perhaps who are less close to the party scene, like a younger audience, like your listeners, might have. Although I'm a big fan of BFM and I'm no longer in the young category, it's a Class B drug. It's been our classification. system isn't very evidence-based, shall we say. It's been chucked in as a Class B drug, even though if you look at, you know, from what we know to be the harms, it's relatively at the low harm end of the spectrum. And so people probably at the wider society level think of it as a Class B quite serious substance that's quite terrifying. And I think our war on drugs kind of conversation that's happened over decades is sort of hanging over that whole stigma equation and how different substances are perceived. I think maybe at the people who are closer to the party scene, it may be sort of seen as a more normalised substance. But nonetheless, there's a high degree of secrecy and stigma around drug use, and so people don't talk about it enough. The other thing is it does actually carry criminal convictions with us. So MDMA is probably one of the substances that, well, I know it is, that is least likely to be prosecuted. So the number of convictions for MDMA, I can't remember what it is exactly offhand, but is relatively low compared to, say, cannabis or methamphetamine, which to me tells a bit of a story around class and race judgments that are made. But it does nonetheless carry the potential for a three-month sentence, or a $500 fine just for having it on your person, or if you've supplied a 14-year sentence, or even I understand that 14-year sentence can be carried for transporting it in a car to somebody else if you've knowingly done so. So it's good for your audience, if they are using substances, to be aware of what those potential consequences are. But of course, there's no consequence for drug testing. So please do, you know, have more honest conversations about drug testing with your mates and with the substances you're using and your loved ones, because then you're more likely to, you know, have less harmful things happen to you, I think.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.